Welcome to this week's Ox Talk for Tuesday, the 30th of April, 2024. This week's local news items were selected and read by Alison Soskis and Marianne Moxon. After the news, Jenny reads us a poem. The copying and distribution of the USB sticks is by Michelle Lawful, and the technical officer, that's me, is David Field. Today, sunrise is at 5:35 and sunset is at 8:30. On this day, George Washington was inaugurated as first president of the USA in 1789, and in 1920 the British government ends military conscription. In 2019, on this day, American diver Victor Vescovo makes the deepest dive ever to the bottom of the Mariana Trench at 10,927 metres and finds a plastic bag. I couldn't resist that. It isn't actually today. It's the 28th of April, but there it is.
A new splash park with sparkling butterflies, arching streams of fountains, and a water fence that rolls into a tunnel is set to keep kids entertained this summer. Didcot Town Council has placed an order with water play specialists, the Splash, to create the feature at Edmonds Park and with an estimated build time of 12 weeks. It is hoped it will be finished in time for the summer holidays. Among 24 nature-inspired features will be step-on activators shooting water at different heights, an elegant swan shower, spraying peacock tails, a drench bucket, and reed showers with watery spouts. The splash park, due to cost about $450,000, will be next to the recently finished pavilion with its new sports changing rooms, meeting rooms, and community space. The Oxford Bus Company has announced that it has achieved the midway mark in its transition to electric vehicles. The bus operator confirmed that 52 out of its 104 buses are now in operation, signifying a crucial step forward as part of their commitment to sustainability and a reduced carbon footprint. It was also revealed that the buses are used for city routes and open-top tours. The bus company has taken additional measures by installing an electricity substation and 104 high-voltage charging points at the Cowley Depot. The infrastructure will accommodate the rapid charging of their electric buses. Last year, the company collaborated with local partners Oxfordshire County Council, Oxford City Council, and Stagecoach to introduce a total of 159 electric buses into service. Reduced NOx emissions from buses sees them causing less pollution than cars in the city centre.
An environmental charity is inviting countryside lovers to enjoy a taste of farming at a popular family event. The Earth Trust will host its spring festival from May 4th and 5th and 11th and 12th. The festival will take place at the Earth Trust Farm in Little Wittenham near Didcot and will feature activities such as tractor trailer rides, a welly wanging contest, hay bale climbing and a bee lab offering candle making and honey tasting. There will also be a spring activity trail and a market. The Spring Festival evolved from the charity's Lambing Festival to showcase the importance of nature-friendly farming practices. Tickets cost £5 per person when pre-booked online, or £8 at the gate, with under-2s entering for free.
Art exhibitions, live music, wine tastings and talks are set to entertain attendees at an event held across three venues next month. Art Late Summertown will take place on May 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. The North Wall, Turrell Sculpture Garden and Sarah Wiseman Gallery are collaborating once again to deliver the biannual event. Attendees will be able to enjoy printmaker Duncan Montgomery's exhibition, Parson's Pleasure and the Ponds, curated by cultural historian George Townsend at the North Wall. Elsewhere, Turrell Sculpture Garden will host the group show Narratives of Nature, while the Wiseman Gallery presents Daniel Ablett's show Quietude, with Mr. Ablett set to be in attendance. The event will also include live music by Ben Avison, wine tasting with Grape Minds, and art late talks by Sarah Wiseman. The first informal introductory talk will start at 5:45 p.m., at the second at 6:15. The event is free, and each venue will provide free refreshments for attendees.
A parade has taken place in Oxford to celebrate the birthday of William Shakespeare. Town and gown gathered on the morning of April the 23rd for a procession from Oxford Castle to the Painted Room on Cornmarket. The tradition, maintained by Oxford Preservation Trust, saw the High Sheriff, Deputy Lord Mayor, Sheriff of Oxford and Chair of the County Council, along with the Beadles and Proctors, walking down Queen Street to the tunes of medieval musicians, the Oxford Waits. They were also entertained by the Oxford Imps, an improvised comedy group with Shakespeare-inspired theatre performances. Dr. Lynn Robson raised a birthday toast to Shakespeare in the Painted Room, quoting Falstaff's famous line about the positive effects of sherry: "It ascends into the brain and becomes excellent wit." The Painted Room, tucked away on Cornmarket, is part of a 14th-century timber-framed tavern with colourful Elizabethan wall paintings. It's where William Shakespeare stayed during his journeys from London to Stratford-on-Avon.
A man from Abingdon who lost his father to a heart condition joined 800 others in running the London Marathon for the British Heart Foundation. Justin Scott was part of the team that raised more than $1.4 million for the charity. He completed the 26.2-mile course in under 4 hours, raising £7,000. He was inspired to take on the challenge as his father died suddenly due to a torn aorta in 2012, while his nephew underwent life-saving open-heart surgery in his 20s. The research that the British Heart Foundation does makes such a difference to the 7.6 million people in the UK living with heart and circulatory diseases. Oxford has been ranked as the fifth best city in the UK for a relaxing walk. A recent study by Injury Claims examined more than 200,000 TripAdvisor reviews for parks across 74 major towns and cities. The comments were analyzed for keywords including calm, peaceful, and tranquil. Oxford received an index score of 17.47%, with Christchurch Meadow providing views of Christchurch College being recognized as one of the city's most serene areas. Second was Bristol, which drew praise for its green spaces and woodlands. Lincoln secured a third, largely attributed to the peaceful atmosphere of Harchholme Park. Fourth place went to Milton Keynes, benefiting from Emberton Country Park.
A new library has been unveiled at an Oxford primary school to mark the launch of the second year of a programme aimed at giving children access to reading. Oxford University Press and the National Literacy Trust launched the second year of their Oxfordshire Raise a Reader programme with the unveiling at St Francis Primary School in Cowley. City artist Corky Paul, the best-selling illustrator of the Winnie and Wilbur series, cut the ribbon and celebrated with a reading event with the children. The school is one of 10 across Oxfordshire to receive new reading spaces this spring term, each equipped with 500 books, soft furnishings and book storage. These schools are offered in-person training to help develop effective whole school reading strategies. A subscription to Oxford Reading Buddy, a digital reading service and a sequence of author visits. Caroline Darby, Head of Early Literacy and Phonics at Oxford University Press, said, "We're thrilled to be able to extend our Oxfordshire Raise a Reader programme to an additional 10 schools this year. When we first launched our Raise a Reader initiative, we were keen to offer support where it is needed most in our local community. We know just how important it is to ensure that all children have the tools and opportunities to become lifelong readers, and we hope these new library spaces will excite and inspire the next generation of readers." The programme, which has opened libraries in 20 primary schools across the county, is in its second year. Almost 3,000 Oxfordshire children benefited from the programme in its first year in 2023. Feedback from more than 200 children revealed 44% wanted to read more because of the changes made to their school library, while 73% said they visited the library at least once a week. Annalisa Dodds, Labour MP for Oxford East, said, "Access to books and regular reading are really important for developing children's reading and language skills. Unfortunately, too many children do not have easy access to such resources. We need to be working to break down barriers to opportunity for all children and young people across the country." Jonathan Douglas, Chief Executive at the National Literacy Trust, added, "So far, thanks to our partnership with Oxford University Press, we have seen 10 schools in Oxfordshire benefit from new libraries. We are delighted to be working with them and 10 more schools this year, because we know that 1 in 7 primary schools in the UK don't have a school library. School libraries are vital in opening up the world to children and nurturing a love of reading."
A new barbershop which offers free haircuts to the homeless has opened in Oxford. Route 8 in Botley Road has opened up this month and already has branches in Swindon and Bristol. Writing about their work in a statement to the Oxford Mail, the company said, "Our Botley Road Oxford barbershop will aim to serve the community not just through cutting hair, but also through some community work. We will work with the barbers in Swindon to offer training to youth to keep them away from crime and prison. We will also use our shop to offer free cuts to our homeless friends."
A care home has treated a married couple in their 90s to their first date night since moving to the home. Rosebank Care Home in Bampton organised a date night at a pub, Trout, at Tadpole Bridge, for 94-year-old Vic and 95-year-old Eileen. The lifestyle team at the care home not only arranged their date, but also set up a bowling experience at RAF Bryce Norton for them. Eileen said, "We had a lovely evening and would love to go again soon." Vic and Eileen met each other at a fun fair more than 65 years ago. They had gone separately, but ended up going on the merry-go-round together. They will be celebrating their 65th birthday anniversary next year. Jasmine, a lifestyle coordinator at Rosebank Care Home, said, "It was so heartwarming to see Vic and Eileen share such a special moment. Their bond is incredible. We're looking forward to creating many more date nights for them in the future." Vanessa Lavender, home manager, added, "Just because you've moved into a care home doesn't mean you stop living your life. People living in care homes should be able to express their love and enjoy their life, and Vic and Eileen are the perfect example of that. At Rosebank, we're committed to enriching the lives of our residents in every way possible, and being able to create such moments for them is a real pleasure."
Farmers across Oxfordshire are being encouraged to take part in the industry's annual Open Day this summer. Open Farm Sunday encourages farmers to share their stories and promote a positive image of the industry by welcoming visitors. The event, organised by Linking Environment and Farming, is on June the 9th. The Open Farm Sunday Handbook provides a step-by-step guide to hosting different types of events. Registered farms can request free resources such as badges, children's giveaways, and promotional materials. Linking Environment and Farming research found that 62% of last year's attendees wanted to hear more about farming stories. 1 in 5 visitors had never visited a farm before, so what you consider everyday activities are fascinating and a whole new world to most people. A driver training scheme which starts teaching children from the age of 10 is launching in Oxford. Young Driver will transform parts of the car park at Kasam Stadium into a realistic road system. A system will be created with traffic signs, roundabouts and junctions, along with areas to practice manoeuvres such as steering control and parking. For children under 10, Young Driver offers the specially created Firefly Sport electric car at select venues. The inaugural lessons for 10 to 17-year-olds in Oxford will take place on Saturday, June 15th. Events will continue on selected weekend and school holiday dates throughout the year. 1 in 5 newly qualified drivers crash within 6 months of passing their test. However, for those who have taken part in the Young Driver Scheme, the accident rate drops to about 4%. People in East Oxford have more than a mile of green footpaths within walking distance, new analysis has revealed. The Ramblers, a charity for walkers, researched the extent of green rights of way across England using satellite observations of land cover. They found, despite the majority of England being green land, many areas, particularly urban ones, were lacking in green routes. James McCall, head of policy, advocacy and campaigns at the Ramblers, said everyone should live within 15 minutes walk of accessible green space. He added, "We should be working to make our towns and cities some of the best and most livable in the world by creating green walking routes that allow residents and visitors to experience all the benefits of walking in nature right from their doorstep." Ahead of Earth Day on April 22nd, charities called for more action on greening cities across the UK, which will improve people's quality of life and provide a home to nature. Dating back to the 1970s, the annual conservation event aims to encourage people to take action to preserve the natural environment. The number of people who identify as English in Oxford has been revealed. The country today celebrates St. George's Day, a celebration of England's patron saint. But the latest population survey from the Office for National Statistics, which covers the past year, shows that just 43% of people said they identified as English. Respondents can select as many options as they like, from British, English, Scottish, Welsh, Irish, or other. In Oxford, 22% of people said they identified as English, up from 19% in the year to June 2016, before the Brexit referendum. Nationally, the number of people identifying as English has broadly fallen over the last decade.
The first Lazy Saturday event of the year in Oxford was a big success, according to the organisers. Mount Place in Jericho has been the venue for at least 10 events featuring local bands and food in recent years. The open space is owned by the council and has been adopted by members of the community as a place where they can be together in the sunshine. At St Barnabas Church, there was also an all-day ceilidh as part of the revived Oxford Folk Festival. Hundreds came to dance inside the church, where the pews were pushed aside to make space for the festivities. In nearby Mount Place, singers and bands played throughout the afternoon, including Jim Driscoll, Bonnie Tonya, the Thurston Bain Band and Nikki Savage. Lazy Saturday organiser John Mayer said it was good, if slightly chilly weather, good music and the canal-side setting could not be beaten. About 200 people, and they bought all of Tom's German Sausage Man's stock and all the beer from Little Oxford Brewery. They nearly bought out the stock of Jericho, tea towels and cards on sale. Mr. Mayer added, the Jericho Community Pantry raised £150 for their funds in their bric-a-brac and plant sale. Nobody went away empty-handed or uninspired by the music and the sheer buzz of this latest Lazy Saturday. I could not be more delighted. There were 200 happy punters, content traders and the sound of music taking Jericho. This is why I invented Lazy Saturday. Onwards to the next event in late June.
A new 7-mile trail in the south of Charwell District has seen residents lacing up their walking boots and getting out into nature. The trail, put together by Charwell District Council and K5 Better Together, takes walkers through picturesque countryside and passes by several historic landmarks in Begroke and Yarnton. The circular walk complements three other 5-mile explorer routes that give people the opportunity to discover Kidlington and its nearby villages. The explorer routes, Watervole, Kingfisher and Butterfly, were first introduced in Kidlington in the spring of 2022 and are in addition to the family-friendly zoo trails that cover Kidlington. They feature child-friendly games painted on the ground, bug houses and scramble boulders and balancing logs. Assistant Director of Wellbeing and Housing Services at the District Council, Nicola Riley, said, "Since launching our explorer routes across Kidlington and the neighbouring villages, it has been brilliant to see so many people lacing up their walking shoes and taking the chance to see more of the hidden gems the south of the district has to offer." As a district, we have so many stunning landmarks that illuminate the fascinating history of people and events that have helped shape the history and story of Charwell. Our explorer routes are a brilliant way of learning more about these whilst improving your physical and mental health.
Schools in Oxfordshire are increasingly turning to supply teachers to fill staffing shortages, according to a supply agency. Over the last 10 years, Google searches for teacher resignation dates have more than doubled, while there has also been a 32% decrease in searches for teaching jobs. Meanwhile, Teaching Tomorrow says it has seen a significant increase in demand for supply teachers over the last 12 months. Teaching Tomorrow co-founder Adam Shulman said, "We're definitely facing more calls for supply staff right across Oxfordshire than in the past. Whereas traditionally supply staff were used to cover sickness and other shorter absences, we're now seeing an increased demand for longer-term supply contracts. Not only does this help to provide that all-important consistency for children, but it also means that schools don't have to rely on making do by shuffling existing teachers and teaching assistants around to fill those staffing gaps." In 2022-23, schools spent £485.6 million on agency supply teaching staff, a 17% increase on the previous year. Staff can wait until May to submit a resignation for the current academic year. By then, most teaching staff will have secured contracts for September, meaning many schools then struggle to recruit in time for the start of the new academic year.
A pub frequented by fictional Oxford detective Inspector Endeavour Morse has been named as having one of the nation's best beer gardens due to its views. Time Out released its list of the 12 most beautiful UK beer gardens for pints with views. The Trout Inn off Godstow Road near the picturesque Godstow Bridge was highlighted in the list for its stunning riverscape. The pub is also famed for its connections with locally produced literature, including Narnia and the Inspector Morse series of books. A nearby monument apparently provided inspiration for the former, while the latter also featured in the pub on the small screen during the ITV television series of the same name. There is a statue of a lion nearby on the island in the river, which was supposedly the inspiration for Aslan in Narnia. People in the local area, as well as people from far and wide, come to have a pint or enjoy some food at this beautiful location.
Members of a charity that supports people across the county living with a visual impairment enjoyed a day of pampering by college students. A group from Oxford-based My Vision visited the City of Oxford College and University Centre on April the 17th. Welcomed by public services students, they were guided to the hair and beauty salon, where they enjoyed a morning of care and relaxation. The wellness day, split into two sessions, allowed guests to choose from two beauty treatments, followed by an afternoon tea prepared and served by the college's hospitality and professional cookery students. Andy Smith, service delivery manager at My Vision, said, "We all really enjoyed our day of pampering. The students showed so much confidence and professionalism in delivering the treatments and serving up the delicious food. It was a great opportunity for our charity and the college to work together and enable the students to work with people with visual impairments. This is something that will happen in the real world, so it's great practice for them."
Visitors to Blenheim Palace this spring will experience a magnificent floral spectacle. The sights include the palace's wildflower meadow and a number of daffodils surrounding Oscar Niemann's bronze statue of Sir Winston Churchill. As part of head gardener Andy Mills' ongoing restoration and transformation plans, the secret garden is being developed into a secluded woodland garden. A new wildlife pond has been installed, while the 1920 lines of parterres at the Italian Garden and Water Terrace will also be a site for visitors. An annual pass will allow visitors to the UNESCO World Heritage Site to follow the project's progress throughout the seasons. The Westgate Shopping Centre in Oxford is set to hold the Sustainable Fashion pop-up event. The We Are event will run from May 17th to 19th and will celebrate second-hand fashion items. The pop-up shop in Leiden Square will feature a broad array of used clothing, including both menswear and womenswear, from popular brands such as Nike, Ralph Lauren, and Tommy Hilfiger. Tickets are available for visitors to find hidden gems throughout the event, with clothing rails regularly restocked. The items are sold by weight, beginning at £5 for T-shirts and £25 per kilo. Adding to the sustainable aspect, the shop has a cash or trade-in service for visitors looking to sell their unneeded clothes. Brendan Hattam, Centre Director at Westgate Oxford, said, "We are delighted to be partnering with We Are to bring pre-loved fashion back to Westgate Oxford following its success last year. We found that sustainability is becoming ever more important for our guests, and We Are is therefore the perfect addition, allowing us to respond to the growing popularity of shopping secondhand, while bringing our guests a mix of premium and vintage brands at accessible prices." More details can be found at westgateoxford.co.uk.
An artist has been shortlisted for the Turner Prize for his exhibition at a museum in Oxford. Pierre Bard has been shortlisted for his exhibition at the Ashmolean Museum, To Those Sitting in Darkness. It is an Ashmolean Now display, a series featuring early to mid-career artists. Manila-born Londoner Mr. Abad's exhibition opened in February and runs until September. Mr. Abad's work includes drawings, sculptures and text-based pieces that deal with themes related to colonial history and cultural loss, informed by his upbringing in the Philippines under the Marcos dictatorship. He invites audiences to question established understandings and viewpoints. Mr. Abad's exhibition, named after the satire by American writer Mark Twain, criticising imperialism, to the person sitting in darkness, casts light on items within the University of Oxford's collections whose histories have been ignored or forgotten. The exhibition showcases the artist's designs along with work by other artists and diasporic objects sourced from across Oxford's archival collections, including the Pitt Rivers Museum, St John's College and Blenheim Palace. Work by Mr. Abad and the other nominated artists will go on show at London's Tate Britain Gallery in September. They will receive £10,000 each, while the winner to be announced on December the 3rd will get £25,000. Mr. Abad said, "I am beyond thrilled to be shortlisted for the Turner Prize. I share this honour with my community of makers, custodians and storytellers who made this exhibition possible. My exhibition endeavours to illuminate struggles and stories that have been kept in the dark for too long, and I am delighted that this domination can shine an even brighter light on them." Dr. Lena Fritsch, curator of modern and contemporary art at the Ashmolean and curator of Ashmolean Now, said, "Where many of us who work in or visit museums think of them as spaces of preservation, communication and inclusion, Pierre Abad makes the case for them as places of loss, silence and exclusion. His visually alluring and thought-provoking work underlines how art is the ideal medium to rediscover, debate and liberate diasporic objects and give them a new cultural platform, memory and voice." Director of the Ashmolean Museum, Dr. Zahar Sturgis, said, "I am thrilled that Pio has been shortlisted for the Turner Prize for his exhibition in our Ashmolean Now series, which encourages contemporary artists to engage with our collections and our history. Pio's multi-layered works repay all the looking and thinking that their meticulous and engaging nature encourages us to give them."
A new primary school on the site of a housing development has been officially opened. Wellington Gate in Grove marked the unveiling of St John's Church of England Primary School with a special event. The organisation behind the school and the homes, Persimmon Wessex, were among those in attendance. Joining them were the Bishop of Dorchester and County and District Parish Councillors. It was a treat for us staff and visitors, as well as pupils themselves, as they were able to sing the song they had been learning for all our guests. Guests received a tour of the school as the pupils sang the song. The event concluded with Lord Lieutenant of Oxford revealing a sculpture by artist Sharon Rich. Having welcomed its initial cohort of pupils in September, the school and attached nursery will continue to expand its year groups until full. Subsequently, children will progress to a secondary school, which the builders are constructing on land provided by Persimmon, with an opening set for September 2025.
Researchers at the University of Oxford have taken a step towards improving future tuberculosis vaccine development. They have, for the first time, set up a controlled human infection model that invades the body through the lungs, mirroring the method of real-world TB infections. This clinical trial used the BCG vaccine, a TB vaccine, which was delivered to participants through aerosol. This application flips the conventional method of injecting vaccines into the arm and more accurately reflects the natural process of TB infection. This is the first step towards establishing a benchmark that can be used to test the effectiveness of new TB vaccines. The human challenge model has contributed to the development of vaccines for malaria and typhoid. This model allows the scientific community to choose the most promising vaccines that should be considered for widespread trials, offering a tool in the fight against diseases like TB, where creating a vaccine is a challenge. Unlike the malaria and typhoid, it would be unethical to give those involved in the trial live TB due to a lack of efficient treatments. The BCG vaccine was used in this trial because it is a live attenuated strain of Mycobacterium bovis, which is related to Mycobacterium TB, the bacterium which causes TB in humans, and BCG is known to be safe in humans. Researchers enlisted healthy people who hadn't received the BCG treatment in the past. They were given BCG by aerosol by using a nebulizer into the lungs. To ensure the safety of the participants, the aerosol dose was gradually increased, discovering the highest tolerable quantity that did not cause severe side effects. Professor Helen McShane, Professor of Vaccinology at the University of Oxford, said, "When we did the lung washes of the participants, we recovered BCG, which is a positive sign in a challenge study. If we hadn't found BCG in the lung fluid, we would not have been able to move forward with this as a model." Professor McShane added, "TB is back as the number one killer among infectious diseases. It's a really difficult pathogen to make a vaccine for, and human challenge models such as the one we have trialled in this study will undoubtedly play a vital part in helping us to develop a vaccine." Radley College has won the oldest and largest debating competition for schools in England. The Southern Oxfordshire Independent School triumphed in the English-speaking Union's Schools Mace debating competition. Student debaters Blake, Mustafa and Braden beat 11 other teams at Dartmouth House, London. The competition featured more than 110 heats and saw more than 1,500 young people take part. The team said the standard of the competition was unbelievable and encouraged other school pupils to give it a shot. Tim Schmaltz, teacher and head of debating at Radley College, was ecstatic after the win and said, "I'm just extremely proud of all the hard work they've put into this." The final was judged by debating and oracy experts such as Chris Byrne, who took part in the competition when he was at school, and recent competition winner Anna Davida. Mr. Wilder said, "It's much easier to manoeuvre the world when you have a greater understanding of yourself, your confidence and how to get your ideas across."
Former Chipping Norton Minnie Ellie Wilson is set to present medals at Chipping Norton's biggest ever rugby festival. 700 young players hailing from 58 teams throughout six counties are preparing to compete in the event. The future stars will partake in Chipping Norton Rugby Club's third Festival of Rugby on Sunday, April 28th. Set for an exciting day of play, the club will welcome back 16-year-old former player Ellie Wilson, who 6 years ago was a mini player, learning the ropes. Earlier this month, the teen lined up with the For England Under-18s side, which came runners-up to France in the Six Nations Festival in Colwyn Bay. She now plays rugby at Gosford All Blacks and Hartbury College, where she is studying PE, business and psychology at A level.
A stolen piece of artwork taken from the Christchurch Picture Gallery over 4 years ago has been handed in to police. The 17th century painting, A Rocky Coast with Soldiers Studying a Plan, was stolen on the 14th of March 2020. It happened at about 11 p.m. when an alleged gang used ladders stolen from the meadows to climb onto the roof of the gallery near the college's Canterbury Gate in Merton Street and smashed their way in through a skylight. They removed three paintings from their frames before returning the way they came. But police have revealed that the Italian Baroque landscape was handed in to authorities in Romania and recovered by officers from Thames Valley Police and Jacqueline Thalman, curator of the Christchurch Picture Gallery. However, the force is now releasing a fresh appeal for the two other paintings stolen in the same raid, Sir Anthony Van Dyck's A Soldier on Horseback and A Boy Drinking by Anibal Carracci. Romanian police were contacted by a man in possession of the Rosa painting who had sold on the other two artworks, which are understood to be somewhere in Europe. He chose to return the Rosa painting to the authorities. The man is being treated as a witness by Romanian authorities and has not been arrested. Senior Investigating Officer Detective Chief Inspector James Mather said, "We're pleased to be able to announce this breakthrough and recover this painting by Salvatore Rossi, thanks to the Romanian authorities and their intelligence." Ms. Thalman added, "We're grateful to the Romanian authorities and Thames Valley Police for their help in retrieving this priceless work and returning it to our gallery." The missing paintings have been on public view since 1768, so it's vital that we recover them so that they can be enjoyed and studied by all once more. Anyone with information is urged to contact police, quoting reference number 432-000-87031. That's 432-000-87031.
Rowers at a University of Oxford College have named a boat in honour of River Action, whose mission is to save the UK's rivers from pollution. The Women's Eights first team rowers at Lineker College named their boat River Action to honour the campaign group's work drawing global attention to water pollution on the River Thames. In the run-up to the historic Gemini boat race between the universities of Oxford and Cambridge, water quality experts from River Action, in partnership with Fulham Reach Boat Club, conducted E. coli studies on the stretch of the Thames used for the race. Using a World Health Organization verified E. coli analyzer, the test revealed levels of E. coli up to 10 times higher than what the Environment Agency considers acceptable for designated bathing waters, graded poor, the bottom of four categories. Too many of the UK's rivers are contaminated with sewage because water companies have, since privatization 30 years ago, failed to upgrade their infrastructure, favoring instead to reward shareholders with multi-billion pound dividends. Lineker Boat Club President Sydney Rose added, "Lineker Boat Club is proud to support the vision of River Action UK to preserve the health of this cherished historic waterway and the people who gather around it." A young boy who got his arm stuck in a door while at school was rescued after firefighters raced to a city school. Firefighters were called to St. Joseph's Catholic School in Headington, where 5-year-old Dion had trapped his arm in a classroom door. The crew from Rooley Road Fire Station used specialist equipment to release the pupil after being called to the school on Tuesday at around 2:45 p.m. After being freed, Dion, whose arm was in a sling, posed with four firefighters who were called to the school to rescue him. Firefighter for Oxford Fire and Rescue, Sam Thorne, said, Dion was extremely brave throughout the incident, but looked very relieved to be released with just a few bruises. A nursery based in a building that used to be a fire station is celebrating the huge achievement of its 20th birthday. Tyso Children's Group, a nursery on the Oxfordshire border which serves children aged 18 months to 8 years, is marking the milestone this month. To mark the occasion, children at Tyso Nursery donned firefighter costumes, nodding to their institution's unique location in a former fire station. The nursery opened in 2004, following the refurbishment of the village's fire station, which was decommissioned in 1998. Yvonne Dillon, nursery manager, who has been at the nursery for more than 17 years, said, "We are excited to be celebrating our 20th birthday this year, which is such a huge achievement." The nursery has two themed rooms, Sparks for 18 months to 3 years, and Flames for 3 to 5 years. It offers holiday camps that cater for children up to the age of 8.
Householders are being advised to be cautious when receiving leaflets or cold calls from people offering outdoor maintenance services. Oxfordshire County Council's Trading Standards team is reminding householders to be wary of offers of gardening and exterior work, roofing, guttering, patio cleaning and similar jobs as more people get outside in the warmer weather. They advise against agreeing to work from these unexpected calls, especially if the callers are persistent or say urgent repairs are needed. Their advice includes being aware of tactics like unscheduled callers claiming to notice your garden or roof requires attention or saying they have leftover materials from another job in the area. They also warn against those offering to accompany you to the bank or ATM. The Trading Standards team encourage taking a moment to consider before parting with money or information, trusting your instincts and verifying any contacts with trusted friends or family members. When considering work, homeowners are advised to get multiple detailed quotes in writing, complete with full contact information and a breakdown of the scheduled work. They also recommend being cautious if asked to make a large upfront deposit. For bigger projects, an agreement on when staged payments will be made.
A Banbury swimming teacher is calling for more people to become instructors to fill a national shortfall that could impact up to 67,000 children. Kim Lapington, who also works at Banbury Fire Station as part of the Fire and Rescue Service, is hoping to inspire more people into swimming. Swim England warns that the lack of instructors could deprive thousands of children across the country of swimming lessons. Swim England's Business Engagement Director, Rebecca Cox, said amazing teachers like Kim deserve to be recognised for the incredible work they do. This is an invaluable contribution to their local community, which makes a real difference. We all know that swimming is an essential life skill, but for so many across the nation, it is the gateway to creating amazing memories with your family, becoming healthier and happier, and achieving full confidence in the water. Our research has also shown that this is a really fulfilling career option, with those who teach reporting a higher level of happiness compared to other careers.
It seems the three things certain in life are death, taxes, and Oxford needing new homes. We hear the insistence that Oxford needs new homes from the City Council so many times it's beginning to sound like a catchphrase. We heard from Oxfordshire politicians this week that they are concerned the City Council wants to gradually subsume some North Oxfordshire villages into the city's boundaries. One wonders whether Oxford will ever stop needing homes. If we want to talk about sustainable developments and caring for future generations, as many of the climate-conscious politicians do, it's not clear what exactly the plan is in relation to new housing. Will they go on being built indefinitely? It's a reasonable question. Many people oppose the new bills, but with the way things are going, it's tempting to see the protests and objections as just prolonging the slow and agonising death of our country's green spaces and communities. It would appear the homes are going to be built eventually due to an ever-growing need, whether one likes it or not. Some councillors on the County Council and in Chartwell District have expressed eager support for Oxford United's new football stadium plans. It reminds one of an interview by the Oxford Times with Oxford County Councillor Nick Neverton last month, where the Cardington South and West representative said he was eagerly in favour of 271 new military homes being built in Carterton. When asked whether advocacy of the homes was consistent with his Conservative Party's idea of only allowing development in keeping with the area, Mr. Neverton said the situation was different. It may indeed have been different, but at times there does seem to be an inconsistency in principles. Conservatives appear concerned with conservation, but perhaps this should be applied across the board rather than selectively. Labour makes no secret of it being a fan of new homes, so at least we know their position in this instance. Green councillors this week hit out at the 540-house development in Yarnton. The Greens would do well to stick to their principles here, though, as regardless of one's opinions on new housing, there does not appear to be any mainstream party that is consistently expressing concern about the number of new developments going up here and the repercussions of this for Oxfordshire and its countryside. If Oxford has built on every piece of land available, what on earth is going to happen next?
Oxford University is set to take part in a talent exchange and joint training programme after an education delegation from southwest China's Guizhou province visited the United Kingdom. The visit aimed to further promote the internationalization of education in Guizhou and introduce more overseas talents. A total of 11 agreements were signed between universities in Guizhou and their British counterparts. The delegation met representatives from the British Council, an association specializing in international cultural and educational opportunities, as well as London Metropolitan University and the University of Oxford. They explored exchanges and cooperation in education, joint training, talent introduction, research cooperation, and discipline construction. British Council understands and shares Guizhou's aim of expanding access to higher education, developing expertise in scientific research, and deepening international ties for mutual benefit. Cameron Branigan and Elliot Moore were the big winners at Oxford United's end-of-season awards evening. Midfield ace Branigan has enjoyed another stellar campaign with the U's, notching 11 goals and 10 assists in 47 appearances across all competitions. The 27-year-old scooped both the Men's Supporters Player of the Year and the Community Player of the Year. United skipper Moore collected the Men's Players Player of the Year after a fine season at the heart of the team's defence, making 42 appearances across all competitions.
A North Oxford primary school has been told it might be judged outstanding if it were to receive a full inspection from Ofsted. Wolvercote Primary is a joyful and vibrant school where children achieve exceptionally well, according to a report released this week by the National Education Standards Body. The report was published after Ofsted carried out an ungraded inspection of the school in first term before Easter. An ungraded inspection only allows an Ofsted rating to be changed in the event of serious failings being identified. Wolvercote, which was rated good by Ofsted at its last inspection in 2018, was praised for its unapologetic high expectations. Inspectors also noted a culture of inclusion that meant all children flourished. Their report said, "The school is rightly determined to remove barriers to learning. This means that where pupils have lower starting points, they catch up and achieve very well. Pupils who are disadvantaged, including those with special educational needs and or disabilities, SEND, thrive here because of the high quality support that they receive. Staff love working here because of the inclusive ethos through which everyone knows that they are valued. Pupils achieve very highly across the curriculum. Pupils know that they have excellent teaching here and they want to make the most of every opportunity." Head teacher Mandy Hook said, "We're delighted that our commitment to inclusion has been recognised, along with the excellent behaviour of the pupils and the nurturing, safe environment. I was also particularly pleased with the praise that my fantastic staff received. They deserve all the warm words. Wolvercote is part of River Learning Trust, a multi-academy trust of 28 schools across Oxfordshire and Swindon. RLT Chief Executive Paul James said, "This is a fantastic achievement by Mandy and her team. She has rightly chosen to highlight the inclusive culture of the school, the excellence of the teaching and the behaviour of the pupils. But the fantastic report would not have been possible if, as recognised by the inspectors, the school were not led by determined, supportive and highly knowledgeable staff." In 2016, four new spacious classrooms, along with music facilities and a library, opened at the school to help alleviate a school places problem. The popular school had been turning pupils away as it had been oversubscribed for a number of years. At the time, staff said it was a wider school problem, not just in Wolvercote, due to more pressure being put on school places by the amount of development taking place in the area.
A series of events are set to take place to raise money and highlight the impact of a charity fund. The Didcot Powerhouse Fund is encouraging the community to join their spring events, which feature pub quizzes, litter picking initiatives, and a car wash. Powerhouse gives out grants to volunteer and charity organizations in and around Didcot. Preliminary heats for the pub quiz tournament will take place on May 29th. The winning teams will compete in the final on June the 5th at the Barn in Didcot. 10 pubs are already signed up to take part in the fundraiser, with more expected to join. To take part, form a quiz team of up to 6 people and sign up at a participating pub.
Tyler Goodrum is relishing the pressure of being a go-to figure for Oxford United in the final third. The U's head to Exeter City on Saturday afternoon, hoping results can go their way and they can do enough themselves to sneak into the Skybet League One playoffs on the final day of the season. There are a number of permutations in which United can finish in the top six, but all of them require one of Barnsley or Lincoln City to drop points. Last season, the U's were involved in a nail-biting end to the campaign, although for an altogether different reason. United needed wins against Cheltenham Town and Forest Green Rovers late in the season to preserve their League One safety, with Goodrum scoring in both games. He said, "It's exciting. I said at the start of the year I was excited to take on the added pressure and being one of the people to have that pressure of scoring goals. I quite enjoy scoring when it matters. It's a different feel this season, and it's even better to be on the other side of the table this year. I love having that pressure of going out and having to perform, because at the end of the day, if you're getting pressure, that means you're doing something right." Goodrum has grabbed an impressive 10 goals and 5 assists across 47 appearances in all competitions during the current campaign, but is still demanding more from himself. He said, "I always want to do more and score more. I could have scored a few in the previous games, which I'm quite harsh on myself about. I probably should be on the 13 or 14 mark at the moment, but 10 for the season, I'm quite happy with. I feel like there's always more to come and there are more things I can do to help improve my game and keep pushing on." Previewing United's clash against the Grecians this weekend, Goodrum said, "Everyone's quite relaxed and working hard on the end goal, which is winning Saturday. We've got the ability and the players to go and win on Saturday. We're focused on us and we're focused on winning. That's all we can do. If you keep looking at other people and what they're doing, then you lose sight of the main goal, which is us and getting 3 points. Nobody wants the season to finish on Saturday. We all want that end goal, to go and play at Wembley. We'll do everything we can. And on a personal note, I just want to keep playing football and doing what I do with a smile on my face."
Louis Griffiths scored a sensational solar strike as Oxford United's under-18s thrashed Swindon Town. The U's won 4-1 in their final home game of the Merit League One season, with the fourth one from Griffiths a stunning individual effort. United were 3-0 up at half-time in the derby thanks to a Jack Lee opener after 6 minutes, a Harrison Bradley effort just before the 20-minute mark, and a Leo Snowden goal just before half-time. 10 minutes into the second half, Griffiths received the ball on the halfway line and took on at least 7 Swindon players before calmly poking the ball home. The 16-year-old became the United's youngest ever player to represent the club when he was introduced from the bench for the final quarter of an hour as the Ewes won 3-1 at Northampton Town in the EFL Trophy earlier this season. The Orangerie at Blenheim Palace is offering a special main meal deal. Available from Monday to Friday, noon to 4 p.m., excluding bank holidays, diners at the Orangerie will be offered a £24 main course and drink deal. It started this week with visitors able to choose from fish and chips, grilled wild boar and apple sausages, or mushroom pappardelle pasta, all paired with a drink. With ingredients sourced from the palace's kitchen garden, the Orangerie aims to showcase its homegrown produce. Customers can also join in the celebration of what would have been wartime Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill's 150th birthday. Visitors to Sir Winston's birthplace will have the opportunity to meet Winstan, a creation by Stan Streather, as a tribute to the wartime leader, and also enjoy the themed Churchill afternoon tea, served with a glass of Sir Winston's favourite champagne, Paul Roger.
A secondary school where pupils thrive has retained its good Ofsted rating following an inspection. The Bicester School is part of the Activate Learning Education Trust. The Ofsted inspectors said in the report, the core values of this school are respect, resilience and responsibility. They shine through the day-to-day work of this positive and happy community. Pupils are warm and friendly. They form positive relationships with each other and with staff. Staff share a commitment to providing pupils with the best possible education. As a result, pupils thrive at this inclusive school. According to the report, a few of its particular strengths include a sixth form provision and a well-considered and ambitious curriculum. Pupils' conduct was marked as calm and orderly, stating that they behave well, treat each other with respect, and are well prepared for adult life. Parents also expressed positivity about the school and its caring and supportive ethos. One parent said, all pupils are looked after and given what they need. The Bicester School go above and beyond to help students and families. The inspection also highlighted SEND provision, personal development and behaviour, with the inspector saying that the expectations were met. Tony Rushworth, executive principal of the Bicester School, said, I'm delighted that the Ofsted team has recognised the many strengths of our school, especially the genuine care that is shown for the pupils, our commitment to provide pupils with the best possible education, and the quality of the sixth form provision, which is noted as a strength of the school. We will now seek to build on this report to ensure that our children continue to have a high quality education in the years ahead. Roger Dalrymple, Chair of Governors, said, this very positive report highlights the school's strengths in providing a caring and supportive environment in which pupils can thrive, enabled by the very best teaching. All of the governors are delighted at this well-deserved result for the school, and we look forward to supporting the leadership and whole school community in building further success for the Bicester School and its pupils. Joanne Harper, Chief Executive Officer of ALET, said, I'm thrilled with a very positive report received following the rigorous inspection of the school. This is indeed a very special school that delivers a high-quality education for the Bicester community. The Trust is enormously proud of the way in which strong relationships across the staff body, pupils, parents, governors and other stakeholders have enabled the school to thrive.
Seven remarkable adults who overcame personal challenges to secure jobs were honoured in an awards ceremony. The event, held by Oxfordshire County Council at County Hall, celebrated participants involved in the local authority's Oxfordshire Employment Programme, which aids individuals with long-term health issues or disabilities to find and retain work. Karen Fuller, the Council's Corporate Director of Adult Social Care, shared the importance of the program. She said, "Our Oxfordshire Way vision looks to support people to live well and independently within their own communities, and having a meaningful job can play a big part in this." Ms. Fuller highlighted the significant role of the Oxfordshire Employment Programme plays in dismantling barriers. In the 10th year of the awards, 7 adults were applauded for securing and retaining employment, each recognised for their individual triumphs. The programme offers people who need it support getting ready for job interviews, advice on staying in employment, and acts as a go-between to help match people with potential employers. The Council have been running supported employment for almost 80 years. It is seen annually in the success stories at the awards ceremony, which is a testament to giving those in need the chance to live complete and fulfilling lives through meaningful work. Residents of a Cumnor Hill House care home near Oxford were thrilled when they received a visit from 2 special animals, Groot and Widget. 2 Humboldt penguins from Heythrop Zoological Gardens visited the Barclay Care Group home last week. Residents were overjoyed by the chance to meet the South American penguins. Seated residents took turns having the penguins on their laps, leading to numerous heartwarming moments. The penguins' visit was made comfortable with the plentiful fish feeding schedule that kept their visit to 1 hour. The well-versed penguins in making community visits created a memorable experience for the staff and residents, demonstrating joyous interactions with those who don't usually participate in activities. The Humboldt penguin couple posed for photos with colleagues and patients, encouraging residents who don't usually participate in activities to come and socialise.
That was the last news item for this week's Ox Talk. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, then please ring Margaret on a new number, 07496 062280, and do please leave your name and contact or phone number so that we can return your call. This edition and previous editions of Ox Talk can be found on our website, oxtalk.org.uk, and you can listen there or you can download an edition to listen at your leisure. And it's goodbye from me, and I wish you a peaceful week. Goodbye.
I would like to read a poem to you by the Welsh poet R.S. Thomas, who was born in Cardiff in 1913 and died in the year 2000. Its theme is that of arrival, self-reflection, nature, and the human condition. The poem offers a glimmer of hope, suggesting the possibility of finding purpose and meaning in the present moment. Arrival. Not conscious that you have been seeking suddenly, you come upon it, the village in the Welsh hills, dust-free, with no road out but the one you came in by. A bird chimes from a green tree, the hour that is no hour you know. The river dawdles to hold a mirror for you, where you may see yourself as you are, a traveller with a moon's halo above him, whom has arrived after long journeying where he began, catching this one truth by surprise, that there is everything to look forward to.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.